Hello, theologisters, sisters, and misters.
Welcome to the Coven.
So tomorrow is Halloween. I love Halloween. I always have. Growing up for me, because we live in like one of those neighborhoods where like everyone gives out like really big candy bars. So like we would have like hundreds of kids come and like ring our doorbell. My mom would always have a costume. My dad would dress up. Like I would go out around the neighborhood with friends. I would think about my costume like months in advance. And like everyone had like their houses like fully decked out. It is like seriously one of my favorite holidays.
The reason that this one is so special is because there's going to be a full moon. But this one's not just a full moon. This is a blue moon.
What is different about a blue moon? I've heard of like blood moon, I think that was a thing, or like the super moon. But I think I have heard of a blue moon, but I never quite understood like the differences between them. So like what is so special about a blue moon?
Well, I'm sure that you've heard the phrasing once in a blue moon.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Well, blue moons aren't actually as rare as you would think in that sense. They happen around once every 2 to 3 years, give or take. A blue moon is when there are two full moons that occur within the same calendar month.
So the moon is not blue.
It is, actually. Oh. It can be blue or gray.
I hope it's a clear night. Like, I actually want to see that.
Supposedly, you should be able to see it around 11 o'clock time, which is Eastern Standard Time.
East Coast, baby.
It is exactly 10:49 p.m. when that should show up.
Ooh, I'm definitely going to keep my eyes out for that because that sounds so cool.
It is beautiful.
So you said, so there's two full moons in the same month?
Yep, the first one is going to be on the 1st of October.
So by the time that this is posted, that one would have already happened.
Yes, just to date this, it's a little bit sooner than when we're posting, but by the time this is posted, that will have already happened. And the second one is on the 31st of October.
That is so exciting. I love astronomical events, solar eclipses, and all of, and like comet showers. Like I always try to catch them. But for some reason, every time there's like a really cool thing happening in the sky at night, it's cloudy.
Yeah, that happens a lot here. Or it'll be cloudy where you are and it'll be perfectly clear where I am and I'll try and get photos and it just won't be there. Mm. A blue moon is already spiritually very strong, but a blue moon on Samhain is even stronger. So it's like if you took a normal full moon, gave it extra energy, and then because of Samhain gave it even more extra energy. Mm-hmm. So it's a, you know, triple strong witchcrafty moon. that's the best
that
I got
for
you.
Most Halloween thing I think I've ever heard.
And having it this year, which we all know has been a ridiculous year,
yes,
should be a very good thing. A lot of people I know of have been talking about, you know, staying protected and stuff. That's not really what we're supposed to be doing. I have to say that there's a lot of baby witches, and I'm so sorry that you don't have fantastic teachers, but protecting yourself during a blue moon is really the opposite of what you want to do.
So what should they be doing instead?
So it's understood that the veil between the spirit world and Earth is very, very thin.
What does that mean, real quick? Like, that is totally something I've heard in Halloween movies before. And that's about it.
Well, congrats on your movie lore being correct. It's very,
like, Halloween Town, I think. Like, that Disney movie talked about it. Like, oh,
it's a pretty good movie.
We have the spirit world and the human world, and on Halloween, the veil is thin. And I'm just like, cool. So that means people with, that means like monsters and shit can go and visit humans because Halloween Town logic. Like, that's all I know. So please elaborate on what that actually means.
Good God, you just said monsters.
Well, that was the whole gist with Halloween Town, is that everyone there looked like they were wearing costumes.
Yeah, I understood that one. I watched it.
It's a good movie.
Anyone listening, go ahead and watch it.
This one's for you, Disney.
This one's for you, Disney. Sponsor us.
God, if only we'd be loaded.
Gosh. So when the veil between the spirit world and Earth is thin, that means that you're able to speak to spirits a lot easier, as well as interact with otherworldly creatures. You can interact with demons as well if you want to. Why would you want to, guys?
Well, then can you name, like, what some of those creatures would be? Like, are you talking, like, I know some people talk, like, say that they talk to, like, angels and things like that. Like, is that what you mean? Or is it just, like, demons and ghosts?
I honestly couldn't tell you what people specifically talk to each and every Samhain, because I don't personally sit down and interact with, I don't ask people what they do on those days often, and usually the answer I get is, So I'm like, great, good to know you have plans.
Well, have you ever attempted to contact spirits during Halloween?
I have no reason to, because they already contact me when they want to.
Fair.
But I have contacted deities on Halloween because, well, not even deities per se, because I only recently started interacting with mine and having one that I follow. I've done spell work and asked for things on Halloween.
I definitely think, like, it would be really interesting to know what you wind up doing for Halloween.
Spells are a lot stronger on Halloween.
Definitely, and let me know, like, the things that you wind up doing. Like, if you cast, like, specific spells, or, like, what you attempt to talk to. Just because, like, I don't know, that sounds so fucking cool. I'm just gonna be like, yeah, I'm gonna have, like, a movie night and maybe carve a pumpkin. And you're like, I don't know, I feel like I'm gonna bridge, like, the human and spirit world for funsies.
Gosh. So, with the veil being very thin, it's great for things like meditation, astral travel. Don't do astral travel if you're a baby witch. Do not recommend. That's very similar to astral projection.
What is astral travel?
Astral travel is essentially just creating a second, it's separating your spirit from your body and traveling about the veil as a spirit rather than in your physical form.
Oh, wait. So, like, real quick, with the whole thing with the veil, is that saying that the spirit realm kind of exists in, like, parallel to our world, and it's just whether or not you can see through that veil? Is that what that means?
Yes.
Kind of?
The way that I perceive it personally, I don't sit down and do a bunch of research into this. I more so go off of what I hear from other witches. But I don't ask too often about the spirit realm. I mostly ask about spell work and things like that if I'm unsure about something or what something specific means if I see something odd.
Is it, like, I guess, something that exists in front of us, but we just don't have the ability to see it?
It exists in parallel with the realm that we exist on. However, it's not open per se. You have to actively look to interact with spirits on the astral plane unless they come to you, or you're just able to do it very easily and even accidentally, such as mentioned previously, my mother being a medium and spirits just coming to her as they please and just going, hey, listen to my story, I need to tell you something.
Right. So, okay, so basically, long story short, during Halloween or Samhain, this, like, parallel plane of existence that contains all of these spirits and demons and things that we couldn't otherwise interact with, those become clearer to people actively seeking it?
Yes.
Is that, like, an okay summary?
Yes.
Okay.
It's why oftentimes you get a feeling of, say, being watched if you're out and about in
Like on the street if you're like taking a stroll at night.
Yeah, I suppose that could be one, but you also have to keep in mind that you could also just be being watched by an actual human.
True.
So it really does depend on circumstantial situations. But like, I'm not going to sit down and go, humans don't stare at other humans from afar.
No, it is only spirit.
It is only spirit.
So, okay. So spirit realm and all that, astral plane, check, check. So
I do have to say once again, please don't touch a Ouija board. I
not
don't
a fun
want to.
Halloween experience.
Not a funny ha-ha, I can play around with this and talk to spirits. You're not talking to a spirit,
especially,
honey. You're talking to a demon.
Especially not on Halloween, I would assume.
It's even thinner, so it's a lot easier for them to contact and interact with you. And baby witches and then just casual people, not to be rude, but you're uneducated in the sense of most people don't sit down and put down a protection circle of sorts or any sort of candles, any sort of wards, nothing. So they wind up getting harmed or haunted or possessed,
right,
or something. I've never actually heard of anyone being possessed.
I've heard like stories on YouTube, whether or not you like, you know, whether or not that's actually like believable. But it is interesting where people would be like, yeah, when I was a kid, I used an Ouija board and then blah, blah, blah happened. And my friend was acting really weird for the rest of the night. And then I never spoke to her again. Ooh. But like, but like real talk though. So not that I have a lot of experience with a Ouija board, so I can't speak on this, but I will say that like, if you do believe in this stuff, so whether, you know, you're a baby witch or you're a hobbyist, you know, if this is something that you truly do believe in, the idea behind a Ouija board is that you really don't know who you're talking to. And it can be anyone.
What I've heard from other witches is it's a demon. It's almost always a demon. You are speaking to demons, and they are known to be liars. They are known to be manipulative. They're known to just want to play with you, or they could want to hurt you. Just stay away from it. It's just safer.
So when people do like...
There are other ways to interact.
Right. So like when people... remember how in our last episode we spoke about like EVP sessions and the spirit box and all of that? Does that open you up the same way? Like, do you need to have wards and protect yourself for that as well?
I'd suggest having some sort of ward to protect yourself, but it's... You know, it's not necessary because you're opening yourself up to interaction, but you're not opening yourself up in the same sense of opening a freaking portal to the spirit world.
Well, right. And also, like, I guess...
through a Ouija board. And then when you don't say goodbye or you piss someone off and it's like, good job.
Well, I guess, you know, now that I think about it with the Ouija board, the idea behind, like, the pointer or whatever you would call the thing that moves.
The planchette.
Yes, that's the word. I knew it started with a P. I knew it also was a word that I did not know. But yeah, like, I guess it's kind of like that whatever you're speaking to is in a way attempting to possess you in order to move it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like you are opening up your body to that, which is different than just like saying, here, use my iPhone to say words or something with like one of those stupid apps, or use this, you know, radio signal scrambler, because you're not like saying actively like take control of my body and have me move a thing to communicate, I guess. So long story short,
yeah,
just don't use a Ouija boards. I guess if you really want to try to contact the spirit world, stick with other methods that don't involve offering up your body to a spirit.
And if you do offer up your body to a spirit, I told you not to. You are no longer my responsibility in any sense.
Also, make sure that they use consent.
My God.
Okay. So back to topic, Halloween, Samhain. So you mentioned about the veil. You talked about basic protection. But you said, so like, what should, I guess, witches and spiritualists do during this Halloween that's so special?
Well, for this one in particular, it's a really good time for meditation, astral traveling, like I said. It's also good for the universe is giving us a second chance to fulfill manifestations. You'll have a heightened intuition. This one in particular is in Taurus, and it's asking us to accept ourselves, the good and the bad.
That's interesting, because you are a Taurus.
That I am. I don't know too much about the astrological bit of this, other than it's asking us to accept ourselves, the good and the bad, which my deity tells me to do anyways. So
I guess what would be, like, your main to-do list for anyone who, like, really wants to take advantage of the event?
The main to-do list for this event should be, top priority, you should be cleansing your crystals, which I won't cover in extreme, but it's not a very difficult task. Put some salt into a bowl, cover your crystals in salt and set them, don't fully cover them. Just, I'm not saying bury your crystals in salt. Set them in
like some kind of like shallow bowl with some salt.
Yeah. And you need to have them able to have access to the moonlight. You're going to want to set them out on your windowsill or something and have access to the moon so that they can charge via the moon and cleanse via the salt so that you know, because crystals absorb energy. They'll absorb both the good and the bad, and they're trying to give you good energy, they're for good energy. So cleanse your crystals. It's getting to the end of the year, and especially for a blue moon and Halloween being mixed together, it's a perfect time to be cleansing those. Which in turn, it would be easier to say cleanse your tarot decks.
Would you set the tarot deck in salt?
Do not set your tarot deck in salt.
See, these are the things you need to explain, because there are dumbasses like me that would say, well, he said to put the crystals in salt to cleanse, so why don't I bury each and every one of my individual tarot cards?
Oh my goodness, that is a huge bowl of salt.
It would be a very large bowl of salt. You would have to spend a lot of money on that salt.
I mean, have you ever seen how much salt comes in a container of salt? That's a lot of salt.
It is a lot of salt.
As a personal thing, my assumption would be that I would put it on my altar with a, honestly, preferably new amethyst piece on top of the deck.
All right, then. Well, you heard it here first. Don't put your tarot deck in salt, just your crystals.
Don't put your tarot deck in salt.
And didn't you also tell me something about making sure that you retrieve your crystals before sunrise?
It should be noted that you should be getting them before sunrise. You don't need to charge them with the sun as well. Unless you want to. I mean, that is up to you. If you want to sun charge your crystals, go for it.
So, okay. Basically,
I don't quite do crystal work yet, so, you know.
But take advantage by cleansing your crystals in your tarot deck. What else?
You can do some spell work. It's advisable to do things like good fortune spells, health spells.
Can you do a money spell for me?
I could, but I am broke.
You don't need money to do a money spell.
You need components to do a money spell.
So what, like a $5 bill and cast multiply?
Oh my god. I'm not a D&D witch who's going to sit down and cast a multiply on it. I don't think that's even a spell.
I don't think so either. I think I'm talking purely out of my ass.
You are. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, guys, get like a $5 bill and just sit down and cast multiply all night.
You'll see, like, trust me, in the morning, something will happen.
Something will happen. Like, you know, somebody will come in and take your $5 bill.
You might pass out from exhaustion. That's something that could happen. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. You spent the whole night doing this stupid spell that doesn't exist.
So, take it from me by not taking anything from me, is what you're saying.
Yes, because you don't do spell work.
Nope. Never have. Most likely never will.
Well, I guess that's a challenge.
Emma does a spell challenge.
That's not actually a challenge we're going to do. Do not equip people who don't do any sort of spiritual into doing a spell. Knowing my luck, she would screw up the entire spell and wind up in the negatives with money for the rest of her life.
Let's not. That sounds like a big let's not do that.
Let's not and say we did. Donate now to have Emma screw up her entire life.
I'm gonna start crying because I really need money.
I'm working on a back at you kind of spell because somebody is trying to mess with me and hex me, and it's fun.
I mean, we're definitely going to have an episode talking about like hexes and how to protect yourself from them. I think that would be really important for people.
Yes, I currently have my house. I'm incredibly low on components, so my windows, my doors, etc. are just sprinkled with salt. Just lines of salt.
Everywhere.
I'm not personally happy about salt being all over my house, but...
Is your cat licking the salt?
No, he is not. He has not gone anywhere near the salt.
Well then, hey, maybe it's working. It's protecting the salt against cat.
Protecting the salt against cat. Emma 2020.
Put that on a shirt and sell it.
Meditation is something that you should be doing. Try and ground yourself. It's the energy behind this blue moon and Halloween itself is going to be incredibly intense if you're very susceptible to feeling spiritual energy around you or magical energy. It's going to feel a lot more intense and it might freak you out a little bit, so you should try and meditate some, ground yourself, try and, you know, just relax. It's not, you don't need to freak out and you don't need to do any of this.
Right.
These are just my suggestions of things that you can do.
We don't want people to miss out on this event if this is something that's important to them.
Yeah. And you really should take advantage of this event. It's all about a new beginning and the magic behind it is very positive. So we should be working towards, you know, starting anew and getting better.
Especially with everything going on right now in the world. Like, I feel like regardless if you believe or not, you can always do with some positive energy. Like, I meditate during my yoga because, you know, meditation in general is just good for you. Like, whether you, you know, meditate for spiritual reasons or meditate for just like mental upkeep.
And I know that you are going to just be celebrating Halloween.
Oh yeah.
Want to celebrate it.
Yeah, I'm the person to immediately just be like, let's dress up, let's put on Hocus Pocus and eat candy. Like that's me.
Despite you know, being the skeptic and not the witch, maybe you should try and sit down and meditate for a little bit.
Honestly, I'm considering it. I don't see why not. Like,
there's a lot of energy going on. Just meditate, relax.
Yeah. I mean, like, so as I said, like, I do meditate occasionally. And, you know, like, there's nothing wrong with, you know, trying to put good out into the world. Like, whether or not you believe in, like, that your personal energy can be put back out there, you know, a lot of it for me is mindset. You know, if I tell myself that by meditating, I am bringing, you know, some positive energy into my life, I will feel more positive, whether that was, you know, something that actually happened or just something that, you know, I was able to trick my brain into believing during meditation, you know, because I personally believe that the brain is incredibly powerful. You remember, I used to practice hypnosis just because the power of suggestion fascinated me. Yeah. So, like, it's incredible what the brain can do, you know? So I would totally take it as an opportunity to use the suggestion of meditation will be more powerful, you know? Subconsciously, I might latch onto that. Maybe somewhere in the back of my brain, I might believe that. And who knows, maybe I will get something more out of it than I usually would. So I'm down. Can't hurt.
Another thing you could do is make or charge moon water, which I don't know if I ever went over how to make moon water.
I don't think so. Question, can you drink the moon water?
You can.
Oh, shit. I want to drink the moon water. What does it taste like? Does it just taste like water? Because that would be very disappointing.
It's purer water, but that's because of the way that you make it.
So what you're saying is it won't taste like a moon.
I don't know what the moon tastes like, but no, as far as I know, it does not taste like the moon.
Damn.
I've not sat down and had mine to drink because I put in various components or leave it uncovered depending on where I'm doing it.
So what is the purpose of moon water, though?
I use mine as an offering to my goddess.
Okay.
Moon water,
So is that just like have a bowl of or a cup of water and you put it on your windowsill and say, moon, do your thing?
I mean, that can be how you do it, I suppose.
And then drink it and have power of moon.
God. The purpose of moon water is for blessings, cleansings, and you can use it in various spells. It can be for healing. I know people take baths with their moon water, just a little drop of it, not like make a whole bathtub of moon water. Remove your bathtub, put it outside in the full moon, and then reattach the bathtub. You know.
Better idea. Get a large bucket.
Better idea. Remove your entire wall.
Rip down the wall adjacent to your bathtub and fill it and simmer all night.
If you have a... Oh, and make sure that you put the wall back by sunrise.
You don't want to get any sun in your moon water. I mean, come on.
If you... This it can ruin it and turn it into sun water. So...
Does it really matter, like, the difference?
Yes. Okay, it does.
I'll take your word for it.
They are charged in different ways, and they have different gods associated with them and different spiritual energy. So yes, it does matter if it's sun water or moon water and how much time is spent in the sun versus the moon.
See, other people are like, if I leave my plastic water bottle out in the sun, I might get plastic poisoning. And that is that considered sun charge?
You should really put it in a... I usually put mine in glass bottles, but, like, go for it.
So don't use your Poland Spring water bottle to charge in the sun.
You could.
It's probably not safe.
I'm not saying you should drink it.
Fair.
You don't have to drink moon or sun water. It's just something that people can and have done, and there's reasoning behind it.
So, all right. Basically, so do meditation if you want, cast spells if you want, charge your shit under the moon if you want.
And they should always have a, I just realized I never went into full detail on these, the moon water, but you should always say, or have some sort of purpose behind your moon water. Like, I'm like, oh, this moon water is for healing, or this moon water is for spiritual attunement, things like that.
You know, I heard that intention and witchcraft very much go hand in hand.
They're very important. It's very important to have intention behind your witchcraft, your spells, and all that such. Intention's incredibly important. Without intention, it's pretty pointless stuff.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with Halloween before we get into our next topic?
Yeah, just be safe.
Be safe, have fun.
Be safe, have fun, be intelligent, don't die.
Don't do something stupid. Please don't do the Ouija board thing.
Or impulsive, like that.
Yeah, don't be impulsive. Either, you know, have a nice bottle of wine with friends if you're of age and watch some... you know, old horror flicks, and eat candy, or, you know, carve a pumpkin. Just carve a fucking pumpkin. That's what I'm gonna do.
Place it on your boyfriend's head and just...
No, like me and my boyfriend have already started planning that we're gonna go pumpkin picking and have like a movie watch list for Halloween.
Aww,
and get like some snacks. I know, I'm super excited. He's never carved a pumpkin before.
And I'm like,
how? Baby. How? You've been alive for how long and you've never carved a pumpkin?
I think he's been alive for most of his life.
True. You know, I can't say the same for all people. He's gonna love this shout out.
God.
So, all right. Next topic, right?
Yeah, you wanted me to talk about realms?
Yeah, so I think in the first episode, you briefly mentioned it. And I don't know exactly how you pitched it, but I remember I was like, what? I just remember my reaction being very much, sorry, what did you say? So please give me a good intro of what you mean when you say realms. And I guess we'll go from there.
So there's the spirit world. Sometimes I'll refer to it as the spirit realm and things like that.
And is the spirit world and the astral plane two different things?
From what I understand, no. But
okay, so these are for the most part interchangeable words.
Yes, it could be, but from what I understand, no.
Okay, continue.
I believe it's an interchangeable word. You can fact check me on it because I don't know if that's factual.
So basically it's just our quote unquote normal world, what the majority of people, you know, see, hear, and, you know, touch day to day.
And
then there's that parallel existence of everything else.
Yes.
Okay.
And from my understanding, and this is where things like dragons, demons, shadow people, things like that come from. Is a third realm, to my personal understanding. Do I know the name to this realm or that it is in fact a third realm? No, I do not, because I have no idea what I'm getting into, which is a terrifying thought. I haven't been there in a long time.
So have you traveled to both of these places?
I have not traveled to the spirit world as far as I know.
But... are you finally going to tell the dragon story?
I'll leave that for its own episode.
Ooh,
just
suspense.
To torture you.
Suspense, I hate it. I have been wanting to hear this dragon story for so long.
And I'll make you wait longer.
Damn it. It's not just you guys, I'm suffering too.
There's, I used to, I think I visited the spirit world once via astral projection, or rather, what do they call it? I believe it, not astral travel, but spirit walking? Gosh, I don't remember the phrase anymore.
Well, I mean, you can just describe like your experience, you know, you could call it like, I don't know, go into, like, the ghost marketplace and I'd believe you.
Oh my goodness, what the hell? Is that a thing?
No,
hey,
I made that up.
Ghost, is there a spirit marketplace?
No, I made that up.
If a ghost contacts me and tells me about the spirit marketplace, I'll let you know.
I'm just saying that, like, you could call it whatever the hell you wanted. And I would believe that that's just what it's referred to. I'm not going to sit here and Google every phrase you're saying and fact check you.
I'm sure there are some witches or some...
Oh, there are definitely people in the audience.
Skeptics that are going to sit down and start fact-checking me.
Oh, yeah, no.
I do need to say again that I do not...
No one here is an expert. No one here is an expert, is what we're saying.
Yeah, I will never claim to be an expert on this. I'm not a baby witch, but I'm not an elder witch either.
No, this is all about your personal experiences.
Yes.
No one here is claiming that, like, they know everything... And that you should only follow, you know, this advice. God, no, please don't only follow my advice.
My advice and my personal experiences are not the same as other witches or other people. I am a heathen witch. I follow things incredibly differently. And my spirituality and the things that I've experienced aren't even necessarily related to witchcraft. They're just related to my own personal abilities and things that I'm able to do. Which terrify me. I... did not ask for this. Mother, what the hell?
Your poor mom, like, sweet son, you received the gift. And you're like, Mom, it's scary.
It is a very scary thing. She's told me that she's tried to suppress hers for many years of her young life.
I and feel like that's something that anybody would do when they're young. Like, they'll... I feel like for the first few
years... Not me. I embrace the extreme fear.
Well, I feel like it would make sense for someone, like, as, like, a young kid to think it's normal. And then once they, like, are able to start having, like, real conversations with people, you know, like, once they start going to school and, like...
I've always thought it was normal up until you were like, what the hell? And I was like, oh...
Normal people
don't experience this.
Yeah, and then they have that moment of like, oh, this isn't normal, and now it's scary.
Yeah.
And then once it becomes scary, you want to ignore it and avoid it and pretend it isn't there. And then one day you may or may not grow to accept that it's a part of you. So I feel like you definitely embrace that pretty early on.
I sat
just
back
because
and
of
went
your personality.
I sat back and went, there's nothing I can do about it, and it's been happening my whole life, so like, sure. Whatever.
I mean, like, yeah, you said that you were experiencing things, like, as young as what? Like, 3, 4?
Yeah, as far back as I can remember, I've always experienced things, and it's...
Just in general, so, like...
Scary, but it's even scarier when it stops happening. Now I've become a little bit less anxious about it stopping.
But, I mean, you didn't become a witch until, like, how many years ago? Like, you didn't start practicing.
About 6, maybe 7 years ago. Basically, when I started doing my work professionally, I started to do witchcraft as well.
Which is super fucking cool. You know, I am always here for hobbies. I have so many hobbies. And hey, if spirituality or some form of it is your hobby, I think that's rad as hell. So like, but you know, for you personally, you know, your supernatural experiences are not just tied with you practicing witchcraft.
No, because this came before witchcraft.
So when I say, like, what we talk about primarily is not, like, necessarily you being, you know, a teacher for young witches. It's much more so of just, like, you and your personal experiences in general with the spirit world. And I guess that basically sums it up. Yeah, your experiences with the spirit world.
Yeah.
Which is insane to me. So.
So you've... You're a person with a brain.
I am a person, yes. Last time I checked.
Have you ever had a dream that you remember?
Yeah. I do struggle remembering dreams, but...
Most people do.
If I do, and like, you know, bad memory or otherwise, you know, if the first thing I do when I wake up is tell someone my dream or like write it down, I'll remember it, but I always forget to do that too.
I think I texted you a whole dream once and was like...
If I have like a really vivid dream, it's usually like a short nap for some reason is when I get my most vivid dreams is when I'm napping.
See, mine is a full sleep and a full dream.
All right,
and it
so,
is so vivid.
But no, I don't remember my dreams often. Not very vividly, no.
Well, I'll preface my things with... spiritually, even when I can see things, or even if I'm going through one of these planes, specifically this third one I have no name for, I'm blind. Physically, IRL, I am very nearsighted. So, I say IRL as if all of this stuff isn't real life. but like, when awake, I'm very nearsighted.
Mm-hmm.
And that applies to when asleep. Apparently, but only in these realms. If it's just a normal dream or a prophetic dream, then it's more normal. Yeah, I can see normally. But if it's that realm, things are a lot fuzzier.
That's interesting because, like, I never quite thought of it that way because, like, I also have really bad eyesight for distance. And, like, in my dreams, I definitely would say that they don't appear blurry to me. Like, that's not something I ever noted. So that's interesting that you would bring that up. I can't say that I ever thought about that specifically, but yeah, when you have a normal dream, I would suppose it would just look normal.
Yeah, so my normal dreams look normal. Like, quote-unquote normal dreams.
Right.
which are almost only prophetic dreams. I will have an occasional normal dream, which I never used to have, so that's interesting on its own.
Mm-hmm.
But when I travel to that different realm, it's very much I am blind.
So, like, you can't see anything, or...?
No. When I say I'm blind, I just mean I'm nearsighted.
Okay, so
that's just my funny way of saying, haha, I can't see.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, like, oh no, if I take off my glasses, I'm totally blind. Yeah, I got it. So, you're saying that when you have a normal dream, your vision appears normal as if you were wearing your glasses. However, since you take your glasses off to go to sleep, I assume, as most people do, you're saying that what makes these dreams different, or like what makes them stand out to you, is that your vision is blurry as if you were walking around in, you know, in waking life without your glasses.
Yes, but that's not what makes them stand out per se. It's just one of the telling factors of, oh shit, that's what this one was.
Okay, so continue, please.
Another one is, you ever watch a really horrifying horror movie and just mm-hmm. have that extreme dread of what's going to happen to that character, or even afterwards you feel extreme fear for a long period?
Yeah, like that paranoia or that like anticipation, for sure.
Triple or quadruple that, put it into, we'll call it an awake self, because it feels more like I'm actually traversing as a spirit through this realm. So put it into your, you know, currently awake self, extreme, like, I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack, I cannot breathe kind of feeling. So, you know, give yourself a panic attack real quick. And
don't do that.
That is, yeah, no, don't do that. That is what it feels like being in that realm. I know that I'm not welcome there. I'm not supposed to be there.
So you kind of end up there? By accident?
Yes, I end up there by accident. There's no way of me being able to forcefully pull myself into it.
So it's like, it's nothing like you feel like you're being called there.
Nope, I am there entirely by accident, and I'm not meant to be there.
How many times has this happened?
Oh, it used to happen a lot more when I was younger. It doesn't happen.
So this wasn't like a one-time thing. This was a reoccurring thing.
This was a reoccurring thing. For no reasons. There is no reason, no rhyme or reason, no logic. Just happened.
Okay, so what? Okay, so like walk me through this. For now, I'm going to call it a dream.
Okay, sure.
So walk me through it. So you
go
know,
to sleep.
And you open your eyes and everything's blurry is your first thing. And you feel this overwhelming sense of dread.
Well, when I'm asleep, I don't open my eyes, but yes. I get this extreme feeling of just, you are now in a horror movie.
Okay.
This is terrifying. You're going to die.
So what does it look like? I know you said blurry, but like, is it dark?
Depends entirely on the dream.
Okay.
Some of them can be a dark and spooky feeling. And some of them can be light, normal interaction that's spooky feeling. And then suddenly, I'll use the wolf one as an example.
Okay.
There was, from what I can recall, it started out as a semi-normal interaction, but the faces of the people around started to morph into darker beings that were just solid blackness.
Okay.
Almost like shadow people, but they weren't elongated
okay.
like that. They were, I keep remembering like white eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the hell these things were. And they seemed to not enjoy my presence. So I was very quickly kind of trying to backpedal and get my way like out of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I wound up trying to walk away, and it was a busy kind of street, almost.
Mm-hmm.
At the end, it's like it went from sitting around a campfire kind of deal to walking through or past, like, almost like a Renaissance festival kind of walk through a sort of pathway and having people very quickly passing by me as something was following me. Then I wound up getting into a darker wooded area and feeling and seeing things behind me that were these black, shadowy, demon-like wolf creatures that were chasing me. And so I started running.
Okay.
And I used to remember the name of the location because it had a name. There was a sign that had a name that I had hopped over, but I don't recall the name anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I could not tell you the name of this particular place.
Right.
But there was a sign on the ground that I wound up hopping over, and this is when I started to get kind of trapped by them. And, you know, how in general wolves tend to circle you when they're hunting you down.
Mm-hmm.
That's what started happening, and I was still running. And one of the terrifying things here is that I worry if I do actually die that I will not be waking up from that one. I have never actually died in these places, but I've felt...
Like, did you feel like your life was really being threatened in that moment?
Oh, my life is consistently being threatened there. I am not meant to be there. There is a threat of death constantly. I believe that some of these instances I have died, but it's not... It's difficult to explain that bit. In this one, I did get caught.
When you were walking, did it feel like linear? Like, because in most people's dreams, you know, at least for me, like, you're in one area and then, like, you're somehow in another area and you don't think twice about it. Like, for you, was this, like, a real place that you had to walk through?
This was a real place that I had to walk through.
So there was no, like,
I'm in one scene. It felt like a campfire area that I started out in that was kind of like a Renaissance festival.
And then you had to
more of a campfire area. I had to walk down a path, okay. And then I had to run through a wooded area. And that's why I say Renaissance, because they're usually in wooded areas or, like, places that are, like, you know, fields or the woods or nearby the woods. That's what wound up happening. I had to traverse that type of area. So it was 100% all linear. But things started to go wrong very quickly. I'm not meant to be there.
Right.
This is not my space. So I wound up running, getting caught. Prior to myself getting caught, I had woken up. But then I went, wait, no, I want to see what happens. So I went back to sleep and wound up back in a similar location. I don't believe that this one was actually being in that realm, though. I think this one was more of a prophetic
dream. And this was a separate? This was a separate dream?
It felt like it was the same one.
So this was in, like, the same night?
Yes. I went back to sleep and said, you know, I need to find out what happened. So, no, I think this was the same exact place. I was like, I need to figure out what happened. Something's wrong here, and I need to figure out what just went down, because it happened too fast for me.
So you went back to sleep to try to get an idea of what the fuck just happened to you?
Yes, and everything went backwards in very fast. Like, it was like pressing a tape and pressing rewind. And just watching everything go really fast in reverse.
Was it like a third person perspective, or like were you feeling like you were actively being in reverse?
It often swaps between third person and first person.
Okay.
So in this one, it was still first person. But I got to see things that I didn't get to see when I was in first person. Like, I got to see, I actually got to see the wolves this time, because I didn't see them when I was running.
So you didn't know that you were being necessarily chased by wolves, or you didn't, like, see exactly what they looked like, but now you got, like, a clear view of them?
Yes, and it was terrifying. My sight was more towards the ground, so I could only see, like, if my feet were running, so I could only see my feet, which Interesting to note, I wasn't wearing the shoes that I normally wear, now that I'm remembering this.
So, like, you were barefoot, again, another thing.
No, I was wearing shoes. I just wasn't wearing the shoes I wore.
Interesting.
I won't tell you what type of shoes they were, because I don't want to name drop any brands. But they were kind of, like, just white shoes.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to my black and white shoes that I almost always wear.
So, continue.
I watched it in reverse, and then when I went back to painfully redo this whole thing, which I, for whatever fucking reason, was doomed to repeat exact steps, this time I wound up with a partner.
Okay.
Some girl, I don't remember exactly what she looked like, and I don't believe I knew her at all, but she wound up coming with me. There was very little interaction. We did speak a little bit. It was friendly,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I must have befriended her. But and she was around my age as well.
Okay.
I wound up befriending her, and then we got chased. She fell and told me to go without her. Right around where that sign was,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't want to, so I froze up. And got to watch the wolves basically just kill her very slowly and painfully.
Oh.
While I was panicking and trying to figure out if I should save her or just run. And then I just ran. Because I was like, well, she's screwed. Run.
Uh-huh.
And so I find it really funny that at the time I was also still talking to you a lot when we were younger.
Yeah.
So it could very easily have just been an offshoot of what you were.
Oh. Oh, no.
So congrats on dying.
Thanks.
I don't believe it was you.
I don't think so. I mean, like,
just a funny thought.
I feel like if, you know.
If it was you, I would have remembered.
I feel like you would have told me. Like, hey, I dreamt about you last night. You were eviscerated by wolves. I was like, oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
I'm gonna go now.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
And this time I didn't get caught. I got trapped and kind of like cornered. And then I woke up and I went, what the actual fuck?
And then what?
I didn't go back to sleep, I'll tell you that much.
Okay, so. Did you have this specific dream multiple times? Like, not, I'm not saying like in the same night, but I'm saying like when you said that you traveled to this realm.
I traveled to the realm multiple times, but different locations of this realm.
So it wasn't like every time.
I didn't have this dream over and over again, and it wasn't multiple nights in a week either. It was once, and then it would stop for a little while and then come right back up.
So I guess my question is, why was this a realm and not a dream?
The reason this is a realm and not a dream is because I already felt like I wasn't welcomed in this area, and it's a consistent type of location and feeling, as opposed to a dream where it's like, you can feel like it's a nightmare, but like you're not going to feel like you're not welcome in your own mind.
Oh, okay, so you're saying it was this like overwhelming feeling of not belonging,
mm-hmm.
like in a nightmare, because I've had many nightmares, I'm sure most people have had tons of nightmares, like it never felt like I was in a place where I didn't belong. It just felt like this was an unfortunate thing that was happening to me until I woke up.
Yeah, this was a location where I was not allowed to be. This was not my place.
And you had other nightmares that weren't realms that you could compare that to?
Yes.
So is this something that other people have, like, you know, done that you can, like, attribute to saying, like, this is not just an experience that only I've had?
I've never asked anyone directly if they've been to a different realm like this specifically. I've explained this realm to people and had them listen to me about it, but I've never asked them, hey, have you been to one of these? Nor do I know any quote-unquote mediums that I can talk to about these places that, you know, have been to them or heard of them.
So, I mean, like, I wish that there was a way to, you
Confirm
know,
or deny this one? Yeah.
yeah, I mean, like, because to me it is very open-ended. Like, could it just be like a very specific kind of reoccurring dream? Like, I feel like that is a strong possibility.
It's a possibility, but considering I had reoccurring nightmares on their own as well, and I had a nightmare every single night from ages 3 up until some form of adulthood. I don't remember when they stopped.
So, I mean, like, I guess the question is, how did you get there?
No idea. I have been racking my brain for that one for so long, and I don't know how I got there.
When was the last time you were there?
I couldn't give you a specific date, only that I was likely in my teens the last time I went there. So at least like 6 years ago.
That's so interesting, though. Like, would you consider trying to go back there just to see?
I wouldn't willingly ever go back there.
I mean, I can't blame you,
I'm
but like.
not welcome there, nor has I have I ever had a nice experience there, so.
So you said that this was different, in your opinion, from the spirit realm. This is a different place.
It feels like a different place, and I think that this is where the more heinous creatures come from.
Would you say demons, or do you think like what people would consider to be monsters, or?
I'd consider these to be monsters and demons, probably monsters of the demonic variety.
Okay. Was anything in your waking world affected after these dreams or travels or whatever? That's so
Not at all.
interesting, though. I mean, like, it brings up so many interesting questions. Like, is it truly possible, obviously, like, it's that's the first question I have, is it truly possible to travel to a different realm in your sleep? And then I guess the second question is it possible to travel to a realm while you're awake?
The answer to the second one is yes. Yes, multiple times. Didn't I tell you about the rift that was by my house when I
Do
used to
you
live
want to
up?
talk about that? I don't think you told me about that.
That's where I saw the
Is that in
dragon.
that's the dragon story that you said for another time? God damn it.
So you brought us full
I want to know
circle.
about this dragon story so bad. Like, especially because, like, you bring up this, you know, could it be a dream? Maybe. Could it be, you know, some kind of astral something? Maybe. You know, it's that very, like, open to interpretation. What do you think it could be? So, like, you obviously very much believe it was a different realm. I'm sure there are other people in the audience, you know, that have maybe had similar experiences, which I would love to hear about if anyone has. But
I would love to hear about if
yeah,
anybody has that
please
sort of
feel free
experience.
to like
Like,
let us know if
please.
anyone has had an experience like this. But like, you know, again, it's that like very much open to interpretation, just because like when, you know, like when you're asleep, your brain can do so many things.
The worst bit is that I don't have the
Right.
answer.
And see, like,
I'm used to having the answer to these
and that's the
things.
sucky part for me, is because all I want is the answer. Like, that's all, like, I
Is the
can give you the
answer,
answer.
and I don't have it for
You
you.
know, I guess when we do eventually talk about your dragon story, which you're going to put off for as long as you want to and make me and the rest of the audience suffer.
I think I have the right.
So, but like that would be the concrete one. That would be your story that would feel more concrete to me, in your opinion, right?
The story about the dragon? If you were there, maybe. I'm not entirely sure if you would find this as the most concrete story you could ever hear from me. But it is one of the more recent stories.
You know, you're really dangling this in front of my face right now. So, but I mean, like, that is, you know, at the very least, that's really fucking creepy to think about. Like, getting trapped in a realm where you don't belong, no one called you there, no one wanted you to be there, and not knowing how to escape and just hoping that you wake up.
Yeah.
Damn. Doesn't sound
It's
fun.
not
You
fun.
know, my most not fun dreams are like the ones where, yeah, no,
You
I've
can't leave.
had dreams
Yeah, I know.
where I would be in a wake up loop. I don't know if you've ever had one of those. Oh,
Ooh,
those
never had those
are
ones.
probably, for me, they're the scariest dreams that I've had. Like, I like wake up from those feeling fucked up for like the next like 2, 3 hours, because, like, so it'll be like something like I'll fall asleep, you know, the night before in my bed, and I'll wake up in my dream, think about, you know, like, it will look like my room. Everything is in one, you know, like, everything looks normal. It's incredibly vivid. It feels incredibly vivid. And I get up to, like, the first thing that I do in the morning is, like, either go to the bathroom or take my meds. So my first thought is, I need to get up and take my meds. And so, like, I will start, and, like, maybe I'll sometimes get as far as, like, starting to walk down the stairs. And then the next thing I know, I'm back in that bed. And that's happened. And, like, in those dreams, it's not like once or twice you wake up in that bed. It's like 10, 15 times that you get far enough to, like, you know, start feeling like you're actually starting your day, just to end up back in your bed. That is easily the most terrifying dream I've ever had, because you're, when you finally are awake, you don't know if you can believe it.
Do you ever dream, do you ever, like, wake up from one of those dreams finally and then just go, at this point, is it even worth getting out of bed,
like,
and doing my morning
routine?
It really
puts you in this mindset of, like, should I even bother? The few times that it has happened, I would say the most recent one, I was with my boyfriend. And we were sleeping in the guest bedroom in my house, just because the bed is bigger. In my room, I just have a twin bed. So, and, like, you know, waking up, like, over and over to, like, you know, go to the bathroom, take your medication, go downstairs, and ending up back in that bed. When I finally, like, woke up, I sat up, and, like, I woke up, you know, my boyfriend sleeping next to me, and I was so upset. Like, I was shaking. Like, he needed to comfort me and really drill it in that I was, in fact, awake, and, like, really reassure me. Like, it was scary as hell. Hate those dreams. And, like, I've had sleep paralysis. Those suck. But, like, and, you know, as a kid, I had night terrors. But, like, I think nothing comes close to the fear that I feel in a wake-up loop.
That does not sound fun.
Yeah, wake-up loops are not fun.
I'm glad I never experienced that one.
I can assure you that it is psychological and not spiritual.
Yeah, no, that's a psychological one. I've heard of it a million times. Like,
yeah, I've had a lot of weird sleep things, which is funny because I'm not, like, a lucid dreamer. I'm not a very vivid dreamer. Most of my dreams, you know, pass by through the night, and, like, I don't think twice, you know? I wake up, I barely remember them, that's that. And then once in a while, I will have, like, a moderately traumatizing dream. And I'm just like, oh, this sucks. But, you know, eventually I recover. And, you know, you realize, like, once you get past that part that kept repeating, or, like, you break the cycle, like how my boyfriend, like, comforted me, which didn't happen at all in the dream. You know, if every time I had woken up
and were comforted by him, that would be a little bit upsetting even more. Like,
oh, yeah, no. And then I would be even more upset. So, like, it's about breaking that cycle when you're awake. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like, I would say that that is easily the scariest dream, in the sense of, like, your reality gets warped. So I would say, like, that's the closest sleep feeling I've had to what you experienced with that. Like, you don't belong there. Because for me, it's very much like, how do I get out? How do I stop this? Like, I know that something is very wrong. So I would say, like, that's the closest feeling I could equate your experience to, is that, like, whatever this is, it's different, and I hate it, and this needs to stop, and I just need to wake up.
Yeah.
That would definitely be, like, the closest thing I would, like, the closest story I would have to what you have experienced. But that's only happened a handful of times. I experienced sleep paralysis more than I experienced that, which sleep paralysis is also really not fun.
No, it's not.
But that usually for me only lasts a couple of seconds. It feels like eternity, but I know it's only, like, a couple of seconds of, like, willing myself to wake up.
I've had it happen 3 times in a night before.
That actually happened to me once too. I think my most in one night was 4, and that only happened once.
My most in one night was 3, and that's probably because after the third one, I went, nope, not going back to sleep.
Yep. So for me with that, the way that I would break out of sleep paralysis is that I would realize, you know, as soon as I realize like what's happening, like you become conscious and your body can't move. And it, for me, the scariest thing is less that I can't move and more that I feel like I can't breathe because, you know, you don't breathe a lot while you're sleeping. The first thing I do is will myself to like wiggle a toe. And if I can will myself to wiggle a toe, I can wake up my body. So like I focus on like one small thing.
Yeah, I focus on like fingers.
Mm-hmm. And like usually if you can like focus on just moving one thing, you can break yourself out of that.
Yeah.
At least in my experience. Because it's like a signal to your body like I am awake. I really don't want to be asleep anymore. But yeah, sleep paralysis is pretty scary too, but nothing will top a wake-up loop. It's like your own personal, like, Groundhog Day bullshit.
So yeah, I'll tell you about the dragon thing.
At some
when
point.
When you want to talk about dragons, but that's...
Oh, now I get to choose?
That's really as far as I have for you with these experiences. I have a million of them, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll be here all night if I talk about them, so.
Yeah, no, and of course, like...
I can slowly drag you into them as time goes on.
Oh, yeah, and if we ever feel like whatever topic that we talk about during one of these episodes, like, we just run out of things to say, and you're like, hey, I have another story for you, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'll just drag you into all of my horrifying stories until I run out of them.
Perfect. And then you'll have more horrifying stories to share.
Good God, please, no.
So, yeah, I guess this turned into a half Halloween, half dream episode.
So, yeah, just stay safe out there this Halloween and stay spooky. Yeah.
Have a good time. Yes, stay spooky and happy Halloween.
Yeah, happy Halloween, guys.